Hello and welcome to the Free Zone. And I hope you all know that we have a great mission here, all of us together, to strive to bring to light the darkness that is causing so much strife on planet Earth. And one of the topics that is often overlooked and absolutely one of the darkest areas of this research that you can go is satanic ritual abuse. And this is one that has not been highlighted heavily in the conspiracy realms, and it really, as far as I can tell, lies at the heart of the beast and continues the trauma that is going on to carry on this social control that leads to spiritual annihilation through trauma-based mind control. Today we're going to talk about satanic ritual abuse and overcoming satanic ritual abuse and post-traumatic stress disorder, which we all seem to suffer from, but not at this level. Tonight we're going to talk with Dave Staffen, who has been a victim of satanic ritual abuse. And we're going to discuss how he learned this, because one of the scariest parts about this mind control, as you start to dig into these puzzles, is that the victims rarely know that this is going on. It is the rare voice that comes forward and allows you an insight into what's going on in these dark secrets behind the Illuminati veil. So welcome to the show, Dave Staffen.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, you have found a good voice here, a good audience for your topic, because this is one that most of the professionals, most of the public, although it is starting to rise to the surface now, the idea of satanic ritual abuse seems too incredible for most to believe. And so why don't you give us an idea of how you first discovered that you were a victim of satanic ritual abuse?
Well, my pent-up anger had been a problem in my marriage since the beginning. An episode of Oprah had author Patricia Evans on discussing her book, The Verbally Abusive Relationship. And upon reading the book, I realized I was a man who verbally abused his wife, and this revelation shocked me. I didn't see myself as that kind of man, so decided to go to therapy to fix the problem. During therapy, I first had body memories of being sexually abused as a little boy, then being forced to kill small animals with a knife, and eventually satanic events and rituals. After 7 or 8 months, these regressions led me to my family of origin, who were responsible for all that had happened to me and was still happening to me at the hands of other cult people in other places, who were persuaded to take part in drugging me and subjecting me to depraved sexual acts, beatings, and other acts of humiliation and degradation. I was 53 years old at that time.
Wow. So, I mean, your entire life you've had these people in your environment that kept this hidden from you, treated you as if your life was just a normal child's existence until 50 years. You realize what's going on.
Yeah, well, those drugs are prevalent, and you know, I believe there are many people in that same predicament today. When you grow up in a satanic family, your normal is not the normal of other kids. Loves, kisses, and hugs are absent. Due to my refusal to join the cult, which began at 3 years old, most adults I knew treated me with scorn. I was put into fistfights with other kids by my dad, beginning at 2 years old. And when I refused to join the cult, the intention of these fights was that I would get beat up by bigger, older, tougher kids. I grew up alone, viewing any other boy as a potential adversary. As a child, in order to survive, your mind doesn't acknowledge these horrific memories, because to do so would put your caretakers in the position of being your enemy, in which case a child would just succumb and die. As I grew older, I began to drink beer in order to soothe and comfort myself. Drinking socially makes you a very easy target to be unknowingly drugged, which happened to me often by my family of origin and those they coerced into helping them, and only ended in 2007. It is important to know that many different people in many different locations and cities drugged me often.
That that brings delight so much, because we've dealt with a lot of victims of this, and there's this network, and we've had David McGowan on the show showing how serial killers were actually used as the fall guys for satanic ritual abuse cults, and the judges would disallow information, the court cases would be thrown out, and there is absolutely a network that is high up in the structure of society that is keeping a lid down on this topic.
Yes, yeah, I agree with that.
How did you become aware that these things were happening to you?
Well, we kind of just went over that, where I said that many people are in the same predicament, but it started with me at 2 years old. I was taken to events to measure my courage, will, and compassion, because Satanists want to know the attributes and spiritual gifts of their offspring in order that they can use them for the cult when the child grows up. Sexual abuse in a satanic household begins very early. I have body memories of the cult leader sticking his finger in my anus as a toddler in order that I am prepared for sodomy. Because sodomy puts you into a state of pain suitable for mind control programs to be inserted into your subconscious, which was done by my dad saying them in my ear as I was being sodomized.
Wow. We are finding that this very action is being programmed into children at this time through what they classify as sexual education in schools. I mean, the things that are talked about and shown today in mainstream media are all representations of this satanic ritual abuse, basically guiding society to adopt these measures as normal. It's amazing to hear these stories. And I'm very proud of you for coming forward, because it's definitely not easy. This is something that we're trying to get more and more to do, and why we've invited you here tonight, Dave, because if this can come out with more and more people. Now, we're going to have Sandra Fetch on the show, and she discovered through psychotherapy that there was something going on. When psychologists hear these stories over and over again, did you have that effect? Have you seen a psychologist at this time to...
Well, Sandra's a psychotherapist, and, you know, that's how I became aware that these things were happening to me, because I started having body memories during therapy sessions with Sandra.
So let's talk a little bit about repressed memory then.
Well, I think the term repressed memories is a misnomer. These types of memories are more accurately called body memories, because the subconscious, which is the body, is where they originate. The subconscious is like a tape recorder that records all traumatic events since birth.
Okay, so how would you access your body memory?
Well, basically, Sandra has spiritual gifts, and she would ask the Christ consciousness the priority for me at that particular time. And then muscle testing on my body, we would see when the priority was, like at age 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever age it was, even in adulthood with me. And then we would muscle test who was there with me, the cult leader, my mom, my dad, or any combination of the above. And so then you would just close your eyes and concentrate on that, and the memory will come. Now, the problem is, when you're first new to it, what you're seeing or feeling is so foreign to what we think goes on in the world, or what we think other human beings are capable of doing, that they are hard to believe. But as you have more and more of them, and then, of course, you can muscle test to verify the truth, you know that this has happened. And, of course, every single circumstantial piece of evidence in your life all adds up when you take these memories into the context. In his book, The Biology of Belief, Dr. Bruce Lipton explains that each cell in our body is an entity unto itself, and as such has its own brain that remembers all that has happened to it. The book also says that each cell is connected energetically to each other and to our spirit and soul.
Okay.
I hope that kind of answered the question. I kind of went all over the place there a bit.
Oh, no, this is good. I'm really trying to understand all of this because on one level, we could look at this puzzle and say that this is a form of trauma-based mind control. But that doesn't really fulfill what we're looking at when we're talking about satanic ritual abuse. Because what we're talking about here is more of a spiritual warfare and a spiritual weapon that's going on, as opposed to simply creating some sort of Manchurian candidate.
That's very important to know, because the problem with the ritual abuse survivor groups, some of the leading speakers don't realize it's a spiritual attack because they themselves are not spiritual people. But it is a spiritual attack against all that, against our light and love. It's an attack against God.
And obviously against innocence. It seems that's the greatest victim of us all.
That I'm sorry, I missed that?
Innocence.
Yes.
The destruction of innocence seems to be at the core of this.
They want to take away your compassion, right, from the time you're a little child. They want you to belong to their group. They want you to lose all your compassion, and they want so that you will want to belong to that group at no matter what cost. Because you don't get it in a satanic household. You do not get love until you become one of them. So you're wanting for it. So to be able to resist it, for all those people out there that have resisted it, you know, to me, they're heroes in heaven, because they withstood a barrage that a child should never have to face.
And we have a good friend of the show, Jay Parker, and he will be on to discuss his tale as well and further. And he has made great strides using EFT to start to move himself forward. It's been amazing to know him over these 10 years and to watch this.
I've heard of Jay. I remember reading about Jay quite a few years ago, so I forget all the particulars, but I do know the name.
Yeah, no worries. That was more for our listeners to understand how prolific this is and how many people we can call forward to discuss it. I wanted to know, just if you don't mind, a little bit about the generational satanic cult that you seem to have been involved in. How did this relate to your family? Can you answer any of those questions of how?
Well, both sides. So those that were born into those families, ahead of me, I mean, like my mom and dad, they had no chance, really. They were subject to the same thing that they subjected me to. So you have to be, I think, you know, fairly strong in the light when you come into the world to be able to resist it. And so, and even though, so some, many survivors are really struggling, and I was at the beginning too, are really struggling with fear, because of course Satanism, one of the goals is to put fear in you, because then they can control you. And so they may be struggling in life now, but inside that, spirit and soul is a very strong entity that they were able to withstand it as a child.
That's absolutely true. It's the rare person, and that's why the Free Zone and here at FreemanTV.com, we've been trying to bring people such as yourself to light and bring this topic out to light, because the more secure the others feel in coming forward, you know, if there's a welcoming group of people out here that know and understand and are willing to give acceptance, then this can really come to the surface. Because, I mean, we're looking at a nefarious organization that seems to be at the heart of planet Earth, you know, controlling societies all over the globe. The amount of pedophilia that's coming to the surface, the amount of all the interchanges that are going on in politics connected to, you know, pedophilic ritual abuse is coming to light, but it's still very hard for the common person to accept this as happening, because it's so beyond anything any of us would ever consider doing.
that's the disadvantage you have if you're in light, which is a good chunk of North America. So if you're in light, you can't imagine a human being doing those things to a child. But to those in darkness, those in darkness live in an upside-down world where good is bad and love is hate. So what we think is horrific is just what they do.
Well, let's get to the ideas of betrayal then. Because obviously, when you find out that you're stuck in a generational family of satanic ritual abuse, there's multiple levels there. Because one, you've got to forgive your family because you know they're victims. But at the same time, you absolutely have to feel betrayed. So let's talk about betrayal trauma.
Well, yeah, I was betrayed for my whole life, basically, by the people that people would pose as my friends or get close to me in some way. And, of course, I was a social drinker, and it's very easy to get drugged in those situations. But you're asking about betrayal trauma. Jennifer Freid is a professor of psychology at the University of Oregon, and she's done much work on betrayal trauma. Actually, I think the story about Ms. Freid is that when she took her accusations of sexual abuse to her parents when she was much younger, they were wealthy, and they started the False Memory Syndrome Society. And so they made up that label, of which there's no such thing. So maybe that was part of Dr. Freid's motivation for studying this betrayal trauma. But my understanding of betrayal trauma is that it refers to abusive trauma inflicted upon a child by one who is a caretaker of that child. The survival instinct in the child masks that memory from the conscious mind of the child because the child must believe it has value. And like I've heard before that in World War II, children in the south of England were taken to dormitories in the north of England to escape the bombings which were occurring on a constant basis. Many of these babies just died due to the absence of a primary caretaker whose presence would give the child feelings of security, worth, value, belonging, and importance. This coincides with the famous study of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Without these needs being met, a child's will to live may diminish and he or she would die, like happened in these dormitories. The conscious mind, as a matter of self-preservation, fails to remember the abuses from a trusted adult. And that's my understanding, and I had that written down just because I knew that that would come up.
Yeah, that is, I mean, that is one of the hardest things to deal with, betrayal, because that is the very first thing that cuts at the core of innocence. We all want to trust our parents, our authorities. And we're left in this idea. I mean, when that's cut aside, you've obviously felt like you were cast adrift. I mean, how many years?
As a child?
Well, that's what I'm trying to sort out from you here is.
Well, as a child, I have no. That was my reality. That was my normal. I knew nothing else. I grew up alone because I never knew how to make friends. I had no social skills. I viewed every other boy as a potential adversary. I lived a lonely childhood. And, of course, my whole adult life was similar. I had no social skills or not very many friends. And people I thought were my friends were the ones that often drugged me. So I was betrayed right the whole gamut of my life until 2007.
Wow. I want to share with the audience that I gave a presentation on satanic ritual abuse highlighting Britney Spears and Anna Nicole Smith. After I had given that lecture to a small group of, say, 70 people, at least six of them came to me with tales of satanic ritual abuse that they had experienced. And these, I want the folks listening to know, were completely normal people. They were people that you would have never thought they were telling you such a story. Stories of friends taking them off, just as Dave is saying, drugging them, putting them through very sadistic, satanic rituals and seeing entities of darkness and shadow, and then having to awaken the next day, not knowing whether that really happened, and to have interactions with the people that they knew or felt in their hearts were involved, and yet everyone around them acted as if everything was completely normal. Does this sound similar to?
Well, I never knew. I never knew because I wouldn't have put up with things if I'd have known. So I had no knowledge whatsoever. But those in darkness have been practicing their facade since very young age. So their facade of presenting themselves to the world as a nice person, a good person, a loving person. Many of the people that have been arrayed against me are doctors, lawyers, professional people, business people, who are the elite of our so-called society in the area that I live. And they work and they do charity work and all this kind of thing to present that facade to the world. But that isn't what they really are. But what those people need to know is that God knows the truth, right? God knows your true intention and everything you do. So karma will take its toll. Yeah.
I think they know. I do. I think they're afraid of death. I think this has a lot to do with their seeking immortality. And, I mean, these guys, they don't seem to die. I mean, when we look at a lot of the old elite, they live on.
I can't explain that, of course, but...
Living off the souls of children, I think, will keep you alive but unhappy. I mean...
They don't know happiness because they don't know love.
Right.
So you can't know happiness if you don't know love. They're taught, like, I guess I assume on some of the, like some of the times I was drugged by a bunch of guys, like a hockey group of guys, say, I don't really know if that was like satanic event or just acts of perverted sex, humiliation, and degradation, because they enjoy the torment, where we might enjoy looking at a beautiful child playing or something and see a bit of enjoyment for that. They wouldn't get enjoyment for that. They might get it watching what happened to me, though, or some other poor victim.
Did you get any knowledge of how far this goes? Did you feel like you learned anything about the network at all?
Well, I'm... of course, aligned with many other survivors, and we have it seems like quite an advanced spiritual group of people working on these things. We've discovered many of the satanic mechanisms that they put in your spirit, in your soul, because that's what they are trying to do. They're trying to take away from you what is you.
Well, let's describe some of the healing techniques that you've used then, because there are many people, Dave, that contact this show that want to share stories similar to yours. And, I've put some of them out there and some of them I haven't yet. I'll allow more and more to the surface because the audience themselves are not prepared for believing, what I mean? The world is not ready to believe this yet, but we need to make them so.
Yeah, I know. We do need to. That's what I feel one of my purposes is, for sure. First of all, I'd like to just say that, sometimes at a survivor convention, you'll hear people say you can never really recover from satanic abuse. I disagree totally because I'm grateful for everything that's ever happened to me in this life because I'm now prepared to do what God wants me to do. And so some of my healing, the healing techniques that came to me, basically, Sandra started things off, and she's still been a very dominant force in my healing and the healing of many others. But I learned to muscle test and recover body memories on my own. I worked on this every day since I found out. And I've had hundreds upon hundreds of body memories. I have swayed out thousands of negative programs and swayed in the corresponding positive programs. When you have Sandra Fecht on, she will describe swaying. It's... I believe it's similar to EMDR, where you sway one hand in front of your eyes, passing the midpoint, and then you sway your other hand, following your hands with your eyes, crossing the midpoint. And there's kind of a mantra where you sway out the negative program. Now, these programs can be actual mind control programs that was put into me by my dad when I was a little kid, but they can be also programs we just inherit from being in such a unhealthy environment. So your perspective of the world gets all skewed when you're born and when you live a life like I did. So you end up being filled with anger and all other things. So I have swayed out thousands of these negative programs and swayed in the corresponding positive programs. I have used the emotional freedom technique as taught by Gary Craig, deep massage therapy, osteopathy, sacrocranial therapy, where I've also had very, very strong body memories. The emotions would really come out with sacrocranial therapy. But most importantly of all, I've prayed to God to grant me divine assistance in removing all the blocks to my essence. And I believe that prayer brought to me shamanistic healings, certain healing books, and spiritual teachings from various sources, such as the books of Dr. David R. Hawkins. I believe the most important thing is to declare our attention to God to be all that we can be in love and light, and ask for his help in that regard, and if we do so, he will facilitate our healing through the help of others. Like, I wasn't spiritual at all before I began healing, and I've had too many examples of God's help to not get on board.
Amen, brother. A lot of people don't realize that God's help comes through the hands of other humans.
Of course, I grew up not wanting to listen to anybody because I was always fighting back subconsciously, and as a little boy, consciously, I was always fighting back because I didn't want to be like that. So you get lots of help from God along the way.
Right, you really do, and people take that to heart because it's going to be all of our issue soon enough.
I wanted to say, that I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
I meant to say when I started that sentence that you perfectly described Satanism previously at the start of this conversation by saying it's a spiritual attack, spiritual warfare against all that God holds in love and light. If that is the case, then, of course, you have to use God to heal yourself. You can't, if it's a spiritual attack, you need the good side of the spiritual forces to heal you.
Yes, because healing really is more the issue than revenge or battling against the satanic forces, wouldn't you say?
Well,
healing would come the end of this problem, is what I'm saying.
Healing is what it's about. What the spiritual work led me to be able to do was to forgive all those people, because if I hadn't, I'd be full of anger, thoughts of revenge. Like I used to joke that I had to forgive, because if not, I always would joke that I had 400 people to kill.
Yeah.
Because that's how many people I have written down so far that have been arrayed against me since early childhood.
Wow.
And so I had to forgive them and realize that, those of us a little farther along on the evolutionary trail have to help those who are a little behind us. And so that's what we're all here for, I think.
Absolutely. Was your dad in the military or secret societies or anything like that?
No. Well, I'm sure he belonged to secret societies, because I never knew about it. But, I believe he did belong to secret societies. But I think you can also just be affiliated, and you would be through birth. He would have been through birth anyway, because there was that darkness on both sides.
Right. And that's what I'm learning a lot during this show is this generational quality to all of this, that it really requires your genetics and your DNA to have decades, if not centuries, of abuse led into it, because we know that genetic memory is a reality. So do you know of anything on...
Well, that may be true. I haven't really thought of things in that context before, these people go where children are available and where the most vulnerable people are. And that's where you'll find some of these people. Now, of course, you will also find loving, caring, compassionate people there. And, but some of the people that are in darkness masquerade as those loving, caring, compassionate people. But they go where the children are. So you don't necessarily have to be born into a satanic family to experience the effects of cult activity.
Now, on a strange note, have you noticed how this has become popular culture in the mainstream? Stories like Woody Harrelson and True Detective, we start to see this very story being used as plot lines for television shows.
I think it's even, yes, exactly, but maybe even more so than that. Like if people Google the word Horcrux, Horcrux, what comes up is a Harry Potter thing. And some people in the group, our spiritual healing group, have discovered that Horcruxes are a real thing. And so I think a lot of those books and stories out there all relate to Satanism, although they won't call it that. It might be something else. And some of the answers we've got have been through, well, that Horcrux thing came from Googling, and what came up was the author of Harry Potter talking about a Horcrux, where a person in darkness will try and implant part of their soul in maybe another person or an object. And maybe that this way, if they do that enough times, they can gain immortality. There was one in me, and of course that if it's a soul part from darkness, it's going to clash greatly with my own essence. So it would keep me in anger and in frustration. So we have healings to remove those things.
Wow, you know, I'm thinking. Not only Harry Potter, but Katy Perry, and she sings this song, E.T., and it's all about bringing in a Horcrux into your soul. I think of Walt Disney's books, the Rick Riordan series, The Red Pyramid, and it's all about calling these archetypal ancient Egyptian god forms into their souls. So I'm seeing how this is being thrown into children.
And all that stuff, the power of words is something we've learned is more powerful than the average person would ever know. Because, like, for instance, a lot of, even that, what's that popular kids video right now, Let It Be, they're about curses. Curses are a real thing. And if you've carried a curse from a previous life, it still is against you until you undo it. So curses, spells, oaths, vows, there's all kinds of satanic mechanisms and devices that are used. And we've uncovered many of these. And it's the same as making a vow yourself. If you make a vow, you know, there's a popular movie or many movies where a person will give their soul to the dark side if something will happen. Even to say that changes your karmic force, your karmic trail is what I believe. And so you shouldn't do that. And if you have done that, you should revoke it before God.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, because those words are powerful, and they stand in the universe till they're changed. So I had, for instance, as part of my healing, I've had to revoke many vows of revenge that I made in previous lives and in this life. And so I did, because they're basically, like, I considered those vows of revenge blocks to my essence. Because your essence is my essence, and your essence is about love, so you can't have a vow of revenge blocking that.
Right, exactly. Very good point. And that's one that I always want to hit home with people, because it's healing that we're seeking, not vengeance and the fight. And the healing will bring its own salvation. You had hit upon another key point, and that is your own free will and accord. Obviously, we find in secret societies that this is one of the main agreements that you give before you can even walk in a lodge. And in a strange storybook connection, when we look to Frank L. Baum in the Oz series, The Wizard of Oz, when we got to the movie Return to Oz, which is put out by one of the greatest Satanists that I've calculated on this planet, and that is Walt Disney Company, the Return to Oz story actually has Dorothy connecting with her electronic let me not lose my mind here, electroshock therapy device becomes her friend in the alternate world. And as she comes across the dark magician trying to enter the abyss with this electroshock therapy device that's now the character TikTok, she has to give her free will an agreement to give her soul over in order to go save her friends. And that's often the plight that is put before people that are in your position. It's not really a choice, but yet you have to give this free will agreement.
Yes, and kind of ancillary to that a little bit. Like, I know we've come across, not just me, but others who've, you know, through certain rituals and stuff, you've made agreements with the dark side, maybe to stop the pain, maybe to save somebody else, and you have to undo those agreements. You have to ask God to undo them. So it is exactly like many of the popular entertainment stories that we see in movies, cartoons, and all kinds of other things.
Yeah, it's really becoming popular culture, and it's frightening, and that really makes me realize how much power this network has.
And that's why, of course, then when someone like me comes forward, of course, they say, oh, he watches too much TV. He reads too many Harry Potter books. You know, that's what doubters could say, right?
Exactly. Oh, you're just listening to Katy Perry. And that has been the crux of conspiracy theory since time immemorial, but especially since Hollywood has taken over and is actually engineering satanic ritual abusers using this mainstream media. It's frightening.
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead if you have some.
Pardon me?
Sorry. I thought you were going to say something. No worries. Let's talk about some of the changes that you've experienced as a result of your healing. And I think this will help guide others in understanding more of what's gone on in your life.
Well, the anger has been replaced with love and compassion for others, including those responsible for all of the atrocities committed against me. I believe God loves those residing in darkness as he much loves those in light. I also believe those who hate have never been loved. Through the healings granted me by God, I have come to know my purpose, or think I know my purpose, which is, I believe, is to shine the light of truth on Satanism and to teach the world about forgiveness. Because unforgivenesses are a very big block to our essence. To forgive is a gift to ourselves, because extending love to a brother or sister is always returned to us by the universe.
Yes, as far as I know, security is the only cure for post-traumatic stress disorder. To feel that safety, to find someone that you can trust. And I know Kathy O'Brien, who is a good friend of this show, she was able to trust her friend Mark Phillips because she could see his love with the animals and could tell that he was, you know, a good person. And it took a long time for her to be able to let anyone into her life. When did you find someone? Have you let someone in?
Well, Sandra Fecht is the lady, and her and I are quite close. There's now other people that, through associations with group healing and spiritual, well, I belong to two groups. One's a spiritual group and one's a healing group, but they're both basically the same thing. So there's many people I know have experienced this, and I have learned to trust. Now, the problem, people that have been through this kind of abuse usually have trouble with various intimacies, you know, and that has been a problem of mine. And I think I've worked on them enough that most of them are gone, but still there are times when I will get triggered within a group, because of course when you're at the hands of the cult, there's a group. So there's many things that will come up that will trigger me. And I've still got a few little ones to work on like that.
Well, what do you mean by trigger? I know the audience would want to know.
Well, basically a trigger puts you into a wee bit of an altered state. So everyone listening could relate to a trigger, probably. If they get if they get madder at some little incident than the incident warrants, that's probably a trigger, and that trigger's reminding them of something from their past, most likely their childhood, although that isn't true for traumatic stress with people that have been in war, I'm sure, you know. So they're triggered by things that might remind them of war. So it reminds you of that incident, and Sandra can heal post-traumatic stress because survivors of satanic ritual abuse have post-traumatic stress on many levels in many different areas. So, you know, I consider most of that, myself mostly healed. I consider myself healed, really. Like, everybody has some faults, and I'm still working on those. And my biggest faults right now are the triggers to, sometimes in group. If I'm challenged in a group, that will sometimes trigger me a bit, or a lot.
Right.
But and now I'm to the point where I recognize it and I can work on it even at the time. Where before you might know you're triggered, but you're so angry you can't stop it.
Right.
So that's what you're working on.
Well, leave the audience with some thoughts today. What you've experienced, what you've learned, and how we can help.
Well, I'd like to, you know, learn to recognize the thoughts that go through their head. And learn to recognize when they're triggered, because that trigger's not there by accident. It's there for something that happened to them. And you can heal that. But I think the main thing is I'd like to encourage everybody to forgive all of their grievances in order to set themselves free, that their loving essence may assert itself. I ask them to declare their intention to God to remove all of the blocks to their essence and ask Him for His divine assistance in doing so. And I implore people to Google the report of the Ritual Abuse Task Force, that they may learn why it is so important to learn how to muscle test, so that they may protect their children, other children, themselves, and others.
Wow. Well, thank you, David Staffen, for coming on the show. Folks, you can find Dave on YouTube, and of course it'll be linked right here on freemantv.com, but that's the only source at this time for him to get his voice out. Of course, we're going to hook them up with all the great people we know inside of the Awakening Satanic Ritual Abuse community. Kathy O'Brien will be starting a show here on Freeman TV. And Jay Parker, of course, has his consistent show going. So I'm sure we'll be hearing more from Dave. Dave, you're putting together some films right now so that people can get your story and get it out, right?
Yeah, actually, if you Google Modern Knowledge, a group there does a similar thing to what you're doing, only in different format, I guess. They have videos, and they have, actually, they're having a conference in Toronto today. But they did a video of Sandra Fecht, myself, and a lady named Fran Toes, who's also a survivor. And so that video is what got me on this show and what got Sandra on another radio show and is going to bring her on your show. So a lot of people have watched it. And Sandra has gotten quite a bit of response from her interview. The Richie Allen shows in the United Kingdom.
Yes,
affiliated with David Icke, yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah, the People's Voice, yes. Yeah. They almost had this show, but we won't get into that.
Okay.
But, yes, good friends with all of them, and I really look forward to you guys getting this out to the public more, and I'll do everything I can to share this information with everyone I can, and so that we can start to get this. We have a program that we're hoping to really get going. It's called Release the Stars, because there are many, many celebrities out there that are under trauma-based mind control and satanic ritual abuse, and it's coming to the surface. Corey Feldman writing books, Chuck Barris writing books. It's coming up through all of the Hollywood streams, and the thing being that when a celebrity says stuff like this, then the world listens.
People listen, yeah.
And it's an unfortunate truth, but that is one of our goals, is to make this satanic ritual abuse known, to make it understood how prevalent it is, because I'm blown away in a audience of 70 people to have 6 of them, 10%, come to me and say that they have been through a form of satanic ritual abuse and give me their stories. And I believed every word because of, just as I am believing you now.
Well, you gave them an opportunity to do so. And, of course, most people, if they're by themselves, they're afraid to say anything.
Exactly.
So that it helps survivors to get together. And sometimes the louder you are, the safer you are, you know?
There you go.
The more noise you make, the better it is.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Dave, for giving us your time. And folks, thank you for tuning in and having the heart to listen. And the most important message that has come through this show is that we must look to our hearts. We must look to forgiveness. This is not an enemy we're attacking. We've got to reintegrate our soul, our innocence, and our youth back into our bodies, and then we can stand sovereign against this nefarious network. Any last words, Dave?
Well, that's very well said. It reminds me of the part in the Bible that says, and I paraphrase, and I'll get it wrong, but we fight against principalities of darkness. We're not fighting against individual human beings. So we're fighting against the dark entities, not other human beings. We want to help the other human beings.
Yes, and all the help we're looking for is coming from those human beings.
Yes.
Well, okay. Thank you so much for your time, Dave. I know this is not an easy story to share, so I really appreciate you doing this.
I have no problem telling this story anytime.
Great.
It's been my pleasure, because if one more person becomes aware, like you talk about the worldwide conspiracy and all those things, and you're absolutely correct, I'm sure. But when people hear about me, I want them to look at their own situation, their own children, their neighbors, to see if they're safe, if their children are safe, if it's safe for other people. Take it right down to themselves, because when people, you know, a lot of people hear about the worldwide conspiracy and think, well, nothing I can do about that, it doesn't affect me. So I want them to look at themselves. Are you okay? Is anything not adding up? Are your children safe when they stay overnight at somebody else's house? That type of thing.
Wow. There you go, folks. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you all next week.